Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, Chris.
Redmen Radio.
Left pull. Up, down, centre, right wing.
Down.
Redmen Radio, podcast time, international week. We've come to some questions from people. We've got some interesting topics generally around why everyone seems to hate football at the moment. But I want to kick it off with a question that I've developed.
Okay.
Because no one gave me a truly, genuinely top quality kickoff question.
And this is that.
This is that.
Wow. You've bigged this up big time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the question is, how you feeling today?
Great, mate.
I don't really care. It's fine. So Liverpool players as Mario Kart characters. I'm really bad.
What's the matter? Life getting you down?
Life is getting me down, but we're going to come to that. So if Liverpool players were Mario Kart characters, and it will define
but not,
this.
Paul.
No. This is going to be a very long time.
It's literally that question that we were talking about before. If Jürgen Klopp's team perform like this until the end of the season, how's he going to do?
He's going to get... How long has Jürgen Klopp got on a job if Liverpool don't win every football match? I don't care!
Sorry, if Liverpool players were Mario Kart characters.
So, and I base this on the if you go back to like the original Mario Kart...
Oh, okay.
Characters were categorised, and they still are to some extent.
Yeah. Small, medium, large.
Basically, yeah. So in the original Super Mario Kart and the Super Nintendo, you had Toad and Koopa, who were the little fast but weak ones. Then above that...
They weren't fast, they were good accelerators, weren't they?
Yeah. You had...
let's get it right.
Yoshi and Princess, and then you had the Mario Brothers. Yeah. And then you had Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah.
And Bowser.
I'm just writing Yoshi down.
Right, Sat.
I've just done a few.
Okay, cool. So therefore, sorry, my jacket is stuck on this shirt. It's fine. I'm free.
That's what you get for wearing jackets indoors.
Well,
No, keep the jacket on. I know there's a reason.
The video version, this is why I'm wearing my jacket.
Yeah. Check Ball Street on Monday, see if he's wearing a jacket then, though.
No, this is specifically why I'm wearing it now. So we'll start with the little... I think there's a straight-off obvious pick. Who's your Toad Koopa analog in the Liverpool squad?
Okay.
Who would you pick?
Well, no, I want to know the obvious one because I don't think I've gone with obvious.
Alberto Moreno.
No, not for me.
Why?
It is an obvious, easy answer.
It's an obvious, correct answer.
Why do you think that he would be your Toad?
Because he's 2 foot tall and he's... dead quick.
See, I'd have gone with Yoshi on him.
He's not big enough.
But Yoshi on Mario Kart 64 was the same style as your Peaches and your Toads and stuff. So there was only really the three classifications on the N64 version. So I've gone with that because that's what I know best.
Sure.
So for me, he's just a bit thick and Yoshi's always got his tongue out of his mouth. And Moreno kind of does that too.
Okay, solid answer. See, because my thinking for those is like those middle guys are very much your Milners, Hendersons, Lallana.
Well, I've got Milner down as Mario, certainly.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Because he's just a bit boring. He's just not really excelling at anything. I've actually also controversially put Firmino as Mario.
Okay.
Because, again, he's one that plays for the team and stuff like that. But, again, you know, he's a very, very good footballer. But right now, it doesn't feel like he's what we need. We need an outstanding centre-forward at the moment. And I think Firmino maybe isn't that.
Okay. So who are the outstanding characters?
Well, I've actually got Mane and Salah. So Mane is Peachy.
Okay.
And Salah is Toad.
Okay. In the Mario Kart 64.
In the Mario Kart 64.
Okay,
yeah.
Sad. Okay.
Because they're small. They're slight. They're very nippy.
Yeah.
I like that in them.
That's a good shout. It's tough because, yeah, you'd have to pick, if you're working on them being slightly faster, say, than your Mario Luigi characters.
Well, it's the acceleration, and I'm thinking of Salah's goal from Coutinho's cross the other week. That acceleration over 5 yards from Salah means he's one of those guys, but he's also got top speed like a Donkey Kong or a Wario as well. But it's a difficult one. It's very, very tough. Wario, interestingly enough, I've got his Chan because he's just a bit of a bad guy, isn't he?
Exactly.
And I've tried to think what they'd look like dressed up, and I think Chan would look great as a Wario.
Yeah.
And I think Matip maybe as a Luigi.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him in a green hat and green clothes.
He has,
and sense a bit like
you know more Waluigi, isn't he? To be fair,
actually,
got a Waluigi look about him, absolutely. But and
Lovren's Donkey Kong.
If I'm working it, if I'm because you want to put Donkey next to Lovren.
That's part of the reason. Oh. Yeah, I mean it's 99% of the reason, but the other 1% is the fact that I'm going back to the original Donkey Kong game, where you know Mario goes up the building site or whatever it is, like, and there's just a really thick donkey at the top just throwing stuff aimlessly. Absolutely. Not really aiming, because you know you can move out of the way and stuff. He's just throwing stuff around, just and that's a bit like Lovren's defending.
Okay, no, I can get behind that. So I've kind of got just to go back to for my original Mario Kart classification. It's 100% Moreno. But in that world of who's most similar, therefore, on the other side, is it? We haven't really got anyone who's that. Who's that Diddy and fast, have we? I guess you could probably put a salad in there because he's just dead. He's just dead quick. Markovic has become a hero with these random questions in recent weeks, hasn't he? Our intercontinental champion, Lazar Markovic. I think you'd have to, at the top end of the Bowser Donkey Kong, it's definitely got to be a Matip just because as a pure size thing.
I think the Waluigi was a good show.
Maybe a Danny, but I mean, he's not in the original Mario Kart, so he can't be. Maybe it's a Danny Ward or whatever, but I'm thinking. I think Milner Henderson definitely for Mario and Luigi, and then for Yoshi and Princess, you're probably talking. I'd not even considered Salah in this because I don't think there's anyone who's just that much faster than everyone in this.
Salah kind of looks a bit like Luigi.
He's got a touch of that to him, and maybe it's a Genie Wijnaldum and maybe a Mane in that. I'm not sure. I definitely, it's an interesting one. Let us know then if you're listening, who do you think suits Mario Kart characters best from the Liverpool squad? Have you got any more you want to add before we move on?
I think it was
Trent.
Trent was Luigi as well.
Really?
Yeah, just think kind of the same reason as Matt, but I kind of want to see him in green.
Okay, cool. Absolutely. So we move on. We had a load of questions come in, and I have to apologise this week because we got one question that totally informed me thinking on how we carry this podcast forward. Because we got a load of the aforementioned. If I've got one here, I will mention it. But actually, you know, we got like Jonathan Cook asked us if we lack intelligent players, and I think that's a good question and one that, and any other week, I'm happy to do. But I'm just in the toilet mood wise when it comes to football. So when Brian T. Hayes sent in via Facebook, can we have 100% positive vibes podcast? There's so much negative dissection in football; it grinds on you. And I would love for one of you or anybody's shows just to be a half hour of let's look on the bright side. Only 1 point off Champions League places. Coutinho stayed unbeaten in Europe with two bankers back to back. Salah's been a huge success. Robbo looks absolute quality. That kind of thing once a week. Maybe not once a week, but for here and now, I think there's a temptation here, I think, to go full on misery. But I think we've done a lot of that already in the aftermath of the match. I'm not sure I'm going to make it through 2 weeks of Liverpool without finding a little bit of positivity. Now, I'm not going to focus on the things like the bankers or whatever, the head, because we've just got to go and win them. I think thinking about what Liverpool can do is as much part of the misery as anything, Chris, because we said that a week ago. We said that 2 weeks ago. Once we went from Leicester, if we kick on and win X, Y, and Z, I think that you kill yourself with that, with that mentality, I think, when things aren't going right.
Yeah, I think so. Like, listen, I'm going to find it difficult because I'm not overly positive at the moment. Now, the further away I get from the Newcastle game, the more positive and hope springs back eternal almost, doesn't it? But it's difficult because I can read all of them and I can come up with an argument against all of them as well. And, yeah. And unfortunately, as much as Brian might want it to be all positive and you might want it to be all positive, I might not be there yet.
Yeah.
I might be there next week.
Yeah.
I might be absolutely fine next week. You know, once we've organised Keita to come in January and Virgil van Dijk to come in January as well, it might all change things.
Yeah.
But listen, I'll tell you one thing. I'm doing a stat show later on today, and that has affected me thinking on a few things. Like, so not to give too much away, because it's going to be an hour long show, looking at back at loads of different things, looking at the results from last time out, looking at how and analysing how we've rotated the squad and stuff has really changed me thinking. But more importantly, we've taken a look back at Klopp's 7 years in Dortmund to see what he did there, and some of the defensive side of stuff's really, really positive, because when they win the league, it sounds crazy, but the defence was just so much better, and I'm talking like 20 goals a season better than the first couple of years.
Yeah.
So for me, there's positivity there, because all I keep hearing is Klopp's not a defensive coach, he's not this and he's not that. And let me tell you something, from his past, when he gets it right at both ends of the pitch.
Yeah.
And we're going to look into that later on. So yeah. There's massive positivity you can draw out of the whole thing. But right now, as a pure Liverpool fan and just coming off the Newcastle, it's going
to
be a struggle.
Well, I want to actually come at this from the opposite angle to some extent, because you're right. I was looking for questions that would bolster the positive vibes, and I'm struggling for it too. But what I've noticed, and I think this is something that, for me, that's exacerbated over the last, you know, we've been doing this for 7 odd years now. And I used to do post-match stuff. And bear in mind, you know, for listeners, think about some of what that 7 years encompasses. Like, and I used to have to come, you know, after, we used to finish a match and I'd come home and I'd have to rearrange me back room in my house, and I'd have to pin banners up and I'd have to sit down and talk about Roy Hodgson's Liverpool. And there was a period even after that when things weren't going well. I used to do the post-match stuff when we started doing like the Twitter reactions, we've been doing that a long time now, and I'd see the over-the-top reactions to stuff and it'd always make me feel better about things. Whereas it feels like now, we get that at the Liverpool are so finely poised emotionally at the moment that I dread us dropping points more from the reaction that comes to it than anything else. And actually, because it's exacerbated by these constant things, and it's right to not be happy with it. It's right to not be over the moon with it. But it is at this point now, I'm starting to wonder whether people genuinely get enjoyment from the footy, because it doesn't feel that way. It feels like people can only genuinely enjoy Liverpool when they are utterly dominant and spanking teams off the park.
Yeah, it's funny, like, because, you know, you could look back at some of my match reactions over the last, I don't know, whatever, however many years you want. Those 1-0 wins that you get against the crap sides, I'm always dead harsh on the team,
yeah,
which is mad. And I think that's kind of what every Liverpool fan's like. You know, we should have scored more. It was only this team. It was only that. And it's not until you get those truly world-class games where it's like Dortmund or something that you just, like, you feel almost alive with it. You know, it seeps into every part of you and your fucking soul and everything. And it's amazing. They're so genuinely few and far between, though, that everything else that makes it up, so 99% of your football season is a grind, almost, isn't it? And is the one thing that probably changed my mind on this more than anything, I was listening to rap about a year ago, and, you know, it's celebrating your wins. And it's just such a simple thing, because, look, we celebrate goals, and you can't explain what it's like, but when a goal goes in and 45,000 people in the cop all jump up and are completely not in control of their limbs. They're not in control everywhere. In Anfield. And they're not in control of their limbs and stuff. And we celebrate goals, but we won't celebrate wins.
Yeah.
Now, a win against Burnley or a win against Newcastle or a win against anyone should be celebrated. And it's these people that come out after the game and, like, it's only that. It's a win. Yeah. That's why we play the game.
Hold your horses, Liverpool fans. Give it a wait another week. Fuck you, wait.
It's that whole, yeah. Remember when, obviously you remember it, 13, 14. You can't.
No.
You can't.
When was that?
You can't sing, we're going to win the league. It's too early. When do you sing it?
You can't
when are
sing.
You going to be able to sing, yeah. We're going to win the league? If when not, when you're in, on top of the table.
Doesn't make grammatical sense to sing it when you've won the league because
no.
You've won it.
Yeah. We've gone and won the league. Yeah. We won.
I mean, yeah, it's a different song. It's a different song. Yeah, you can't. You should never sing that
just
song.
Enjoy the ride. And, yeah. And that's what I think people struggle with. And it's because there's so much going on in the world and politics and everything else that like now this almost feels like held up by people into something that it's not.
Yeah.
And it's a game.
But I think the social media aspect of has exacerbated this, that word, is made it all harder because a lot of people's football life exists online and how they communicate with people. The vast majority of people they talk about football with, I mean, unless you're lucky and you're in a class full of people footy mad, which we were, and I guess a lot of people still are. But you interact with fans of other teams in a remote way. So people are so scared of celebrating things because they're scared of being laughed at and they're scared of being trolled by fans of other clubs. Like, look at you, because you do, you get it like, look, you get it from Man United, we get it in the comments, Man United fans coming in, look at you celebrating, this is where most of these people, look at you celebrating a win over Burnley, and it's like, who are you, and why are you here, and why do you care that we're out enjoying our football, you fucking weirdos. But and the amount of people who said to me, don't rub it in Arsenal fans' faces after winning that game, because you might lose them. What happens when you lose them later in the season? Well, they'll come and rub it in
can
my
I just,
face. That's
can
my cross
I,
to
can
bear,
I just
isn't it?
Tell everybody, it's never ending.
It never ends.
It never ends. Nobody wins the football.
No.
It doesn't happen.
No.
Because it's just going to keep on going and going and going. So win. When you win, celebrate it. When you lose, be gutted.
Get your head down.
Yeah. But find the way that works for you.
Yeah.
I don't go on Twitter.
Yeah.
That works for me. Yeah. I go and spend time with my family because footy's 90 minutes at the end of the day, yeah. And everything else we do takes up a large portion. So when I'm at home with my family, I'm not looking at Twitter. I'm not looking about Liverpool news. I've got time in my life to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that might have affected it a little bit is that remember when we were younger, you had the four channels.
Yeah.
And you had footy on a match of the day. And that was it. And you maybe had it on at 5 o'clock when the goals came in, and the Little Woods guy or whatever it was, the Pools guy would say it on the radio or whatever it was. Like
Liverpool won.
Yeah, that.
Manchester United
won.
Won.
But here's the thing: everything there is so much for people to fill their time with now that everything's almost focused on individual things. Like for me, I really like the NFL. I really like football. I really like tennis. I really like cycling. I spend a large portion of my time reading about those things because there's so much information available to me now, and almost at the detriment of everything else that I used to have an interest in.
Yeah.
You know, whereas when you had the four channels on the telly and there was no internet, you kind of picked up stuff from other facets of life. Like my mum would watch Corrie, and I'd just sit there and watch Corrie with her because that was what was on the one TV in our house. Like, so I'd know what was going on in Corrie and this. And now all that spare time that I used to fill up with stuff that really didn't matter to me so much is focused on Liverpool.
Yeah.
And so now all of my time is almost focused on these one things, and it becomes this constant grind where you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening across the world in everything.
Yeah.
It's why you've got famous celebrities with 50 million. Subscribers on YouTube like PewDiePie, who up until 3 months ago, you ask my mum and dad who PewDiePie is, he's probably the most most followed person in the world. They wouldn't have had a clue.
Yeah.
Now everybody knows who Beyonce is,
yeah.
For example, because she's almost in everybody's life. But everything's so niche that you can have all this stuff going on without other people noticing. And if you're in it, it's the biggest thing in the world.
It's genuinely true. I think that football. I think we did this. We touched upon this on the Ball Street Social Club this week a bit, and how there's so much football now, and it's the 24-hour news cycle. It's never off, and there's always someone trying to grab your attention with regards to football. Fucking hell, we're doing it right now. You know, I'd like to think we're not a bad example of it per se, because you know we're essentially an extension of fanzines and whatever, which you could have just as easily spent your time reading through. But it's all the coverage. You have to talk about football 24/7, and it's this thing I get, and this is no disrespect because I've got people who follow me on who are friends with me on Facebook who I don't know, who knew me through Redman. I had to kind of put a stop to that after a while because there's, you know, kids are on there and stuff like that. Like, but the I put a picture up, or you post something non-football related, and the people who don't know you, who the first response is, it's something Liverpool related in the yeah. comment.
What are you
like,
doing posting that? We've just lost.
Well, not even that. It's more like, and I apologise to the person because it was actually a funny comment, but I put a picture of my kids running around my kitchen and someone put, moves faster than Liverpool's defence against Newcastle or something. And it's like, it's genuinely not all my life. I've gone home and this is funny and this is, you know what I mean?
It was a funny comment.
It was a funny comment, but it's the most recent, but it'll be a nice example of it. Is that you do, you get it permeates every walk of life. And you mentioned this about some lads on Twitter, and like, there's someone who'd been given, who hands out a load of shit, we won't name him because he doesn't deserve it, like, but it's a random fella, he gives us a load of shit to people, and you like, you notice, he literally, it's like, you watch, go and look at his timeline to get a sense of him, and it's like, knobhead, 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 sleep for 6 hours, knobhead, 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 all about football, all directed at people.
I thought he had admins.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought he had admins, because the amount of tweets this guy's putting out, and it's all just bile,
yeah,
and it's horrible stuff, and you're thinking, like, I can work out your sleep pattern,
yeah,
from your Twitter
absolutely
feed.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the thing about it is now, and that's that. It happens on the good end and the bad end, is that you can see, we spoke to James Pearce at that Red Neighbours community event at the week, and he said to me, he's just like, knackered, I've gone and picked my kids up, he's brought them to the event because he's got to interview Jeannie Wijnaldum, and then he's got to take the kids to the office to type it up, and his computer crashed while he was doing the press conference, so we didn't get a chance to type up his Jürgen Klopp stuff, so he's got to go and type that up, and he's like, it's Friday night and I'm working,
and it's half eight when he left the event.
Exactly. And it's like, and this is the thing, this is obviously we're coming at it from a professional, semi-professional side of it, but just as a fan in general, you know, again, I go back to it as a kid, you'd speak about it in school, but you had your lessons and you didn't speak about it during your lessons. You'd maybe mention it a bit during the day, but you tended to play it more, and you'd maybe talk about your champ manager game, and you'd speak about Friends, the TV show, because that was on at the time.
Yeah. X-Files.
You'd speak about whatever, you talk about all that random stuff as well, and then you went home. And because you didn't have that outlet to talk about it, you didn't talk about it. It died. You maybe talk to your dad about it for a bit.
Yeah.
You play on the PlayStation on your own, or you'd have your mate and you play. Because we're all connected, we feel like we have to talk about it, yeah, constantly.
No,
and
right.
When it's bad, it makes it 10 times.
It does. And I equate it to music. Like when we were growing up, when we were 16, 17, 18, Paul, we used to go round to Wednesday's house and we used to listen to albums on CDs.
Yeah.
And that,
or mini-disc.
Or mini-disc.
Yes, yeah.
That was amazing. And there was this thing that we all got because we were all there listening to the same type of music that nobody else in our school year really listened to and stuff like that. And we go to a certain club in Liverpool, the Crazy House.
What's the album that sums that up for you best?
Probably Disturbs.
Yeah, mine's Science.
Incubus.
By Incubus.
Science, yeah. Boss album.
Yeah.
Still listen to it. I've got it 3 times on CD still.
Nice.
Madness. I've got Fungus Among Us 3 times as well. Who has that 3 times?
No one.
I know.
But the band don't even have 3 copies of it.
It's weird, isn't it? Anyway, so you do that, and then what happens is we all went to university and stuff like that, and we all kind of were still alternative music lovers. I don't know why. But anyway, and we come back from university with different influences in our life. Now, Wednesday very much stayed in rock, heavy metal, rock metal and all that type of stuff. You probably moved on a little bit more to your indie, maybe even back a little bit more to indie and stuff, and I went very much to punk. And what happens is when we were to get together again, you didn't have that same camaraderie,
yeah,
around it, like, and what you've got now is everybody listens to stuff in their ears,
yeah,
and music for me was a social
where
thing.
Where did we listen to it then?
Sorry.
We listened to it through our belly buttons.
For anyone listening on the podcast, I did point at my ears, yeah, as in headphones.
We've just given something away biologically,
right,
about something.
Paul's completely
anyone
right.
Anyone under the age of 30,
amazing.
We've just given away everyone over the age of 30. We're not meant to tell you, if you're under the age of 30, that we listen to music completely
through our ears.
No, through our belly buttons. It's weird.
I'm sorry, everybody. We listen to it in our headphones. It's a very insular thing,
yeah,
now, music,
yeah,
and it was a social thing.
Fucked us all, didn't he? Because you don't even listen to the fucking radio. You listen to the radio in the car, and even then, really not. You're right, is that everyone delved into their own little worlds. And it's true, because you now, I get it all the time. It's like my wife turns to me and goes, what are you doing on your phone? And I'm like, I am. And I in fact, I got into a little back and forth with some lads on Saturday night, I was looking after the kids. My wife had gone away. I had my 5-year-old boy, and he was begging me to watch the second Ghostbusters film. And I was like, I will. And I was getting accused of all kinds of stuff on there. And I tried to, as calmly as possible, just say, I apologies that if you feel that way, you are wrong, but I can't express this any better than this. I'm dead sorry if you feel that we're not doing something, but there's no malice or whatever. Here's the explanation why. Now, thanks very much, but my 5-year-old son is looking at me like, Dad, why are you ignoring me? Why are you dead angry? Why are you scowling at your phone? And that's because this is the thing. We live dual lives. We live another life in the frigging matrix, and it's cuts us off from the people around us. And I had to go, oh my God, like, he's getting upset. Why am I ruining my child's life because some knobheads are having a go at me online? But that's because if that didn't exist, that wouldn't happen. You know, if I could only access that via my computer in work, then yeah, I would. You know what I mean? And that would be a separate thing, and that would compartmentalise life. And that's just the negative side of it. In real life, exactly right. People, we are becoming, we've got niche little lives, and that's what football's being. It means that every time, and if all you follow is football accounts, you pick it up and you'll see something on your timeline that maybe someone you really trust, someone you really like, all of a sudden post something really stupid, and it...
Yeah.
You feel like, oh my,
we're supposed to be in this together. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, you feel the need to challenge people on stuff, and because it's there constantly. There is an off switch to it, and we have got the ability to switch off to it, but come on, we're not switching. Who the fuck is switching the phone off? Who the fuck is really switching off all their social media accounts and do that? It's just part of the world. You'd feel great for a bit, but really disconnected.
That's why I love Glasgow, man. Just turn the phone off for a week and go and party in a field.
That's right, isn't it?
It's great.
But I think this is the problem, isn't it? I think that because it's constant, like now, there's nothing to talk about with Liverpool, so you've only got...
Here we are, 30 minutes into a podcast. Exactly.
But you know, but this is the point. The negativity is all that's there because... everything else is just a flight of fancy, and you know, if you're not in the mood for a flight of fancy, what's the fucking point?
Do you know what I love, Paul?
Go on.
Football.
I love footy.
I love watching it. I love playing it.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Draw your own conclusions from that.
Yeah, it's true. I can't wait. We've got footy tonight, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to just being able to twat a footy. And I go back, because here's the thing, I go back to 2004, 2005. We did a bit on Rafa a couple of weeks ago, but I was living away. I was working full-time in Sheffield at this point. And this was the time when you got the foreign footy on satellite, but again, I was living in a different city.
So they weren't putting Liverpool games on.
Yeah, exactly. You had to go to very specific pubs to get it, but I was also managing a pub. So the odds of me being off when the footy was on anyway was slim to none. And Sky just started doing that the red button 40-minute highlights on a Saturday night, so I could watch them below, but inevitably it was on a telly while I was serving people, or I'd sit down on my break and watch it kind of thing. And Liverpool was shite that season. Bear in mind, that was, you know, people remember that as glorious. We won the Champions League. Liverpool were dog shit that season. We'd win a game, everyone go, we've turned the corner, and then we'd lose a game. We lost to Burnley via Jimmy Traore, horrendous back-heel goal, and the world was falling down around our ears. And you couldn't even watch the full, you know, I remember going out on a date and forgetting that game was on and watching that goal go in and going, nah, you're all right, we'll go and watch the, let's go to the pitches instead. You could switch off from footy more at that time because it wasn't as all pervading in your life. But I hadn't played footy in about 6 months, and I started playing five-a-side again because I needed just to rediscover a love for footy, to switch off to that, because I had no control over that, and I knew I had no control over that. So I just rediscovered a love for kicking a footy. The problem is that, as I say,
you're not very good. What? Sorry.
Yeah, fucking. I was all right in the back of the day. Much less competitive in Sheffield. Sorry, people who live in Sheffield. Your five-a-side scene's loads less competitive than Liverpool. You could do that. That was your only realistic recourse. Whereas now you do feel as though talking about it constantly is somehow some way a way of making it affecting it. So I don't know. You can't switch off.
Maybe we're. I don't know. You're positive anyway. Maybe for me, I'm more positive because we talk about it all the time. Like, yeah. Whereas you've always had that positive outlook on the footy and stuff. I've never been negative on it.
Yeah.
But maybe for me, and you might have a different opinion of it, but because we talk about it for about 40, 50 hours a week, I don't think I could do it the other way around. I don't think I could live.
Go back to
I don't think I could be negative for 50 hours a week
yeah.
on something. Like, we did the shows on Monday, and although I really enjoyed them, they're a battle.
Yeah.
Because it's two massive, it's two opinions that are just banging heads with each other.
Yeah.
And if we were to do that for 5-6 days a week, every single week, it would then become not enjoyable. Yeah, like, so I don't know whether I am now, because of doing Red Men all the time, maybe my viewpoint has gone more positive in yeah. In a my body going, you will die if you continue to be negative yeah. on stuff, which is why I can let things go after a couple of days. It's why
after a couple of days, I love that. Like, that's like, you know, I can let things go after a couple of days.
But, like, you know, I speak, like, me and my wife, if we have an argument, I literally just forget it. And maybe that's because I've got a shit memory.
Mm.
And that's fine. But women tend to hold on to these arguments a lot longer than me. I just can't be dealing with the beef for too much, too yeah. long. Like, it's just not worth the stress.
Yeah.
Like.
I my problem with it all is that it's just true of life and everything. It's like, and we talk about like politics and football, and you know, I think there's a place for it and all that kind of stuff. But the problem is life is dead. Life, the world is fucked at the moment. Like, I mean, genuinely fucked. You know, the we're getting back to it. The potential fear of us getting back to like an 70s, 80s Cold War style situation. Mm. We're not Cold War, very much Hot War, very much in the 40s. Exists within the realm of possibility because there's lunatics running the world, and you know, there's the people with, for me, crazy, baffling, insular, pseudo racist ideas are taking over the world again. And for me, the people who I would consider to be the normal, the level headed people who care more about being inclusive and caring about other people, these people are on the outs at the moment. To then have it in footy as well is killing me. It's killing me because. To have people just feel to be so down and to constantly think about the negatives of things. I get it when the world's genuinely going down, you know, going down the wrong path, I feel anyway. The footy thing, to constantly focus on all the things that are going tits up. I quote Baz Luhrmann, you know, I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact line, but it's like, to worrying about the future is like trying to solve algebraic equations by chewing bubblegum.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point whatsoever to constantly bitch, moan and worry about it, because it serves no purpose whatsoever. All it really does is just, and this is all a bit hippie trippy, but it serves to just put a load of negative vibes out there and make everyone else share your misery. And unfortunately, that's what social media's become, because that's what mobile phones are. We've had this conversation in the past. Mobile phones exist to
ruin your day at any given opportunity.
Exactly. That, so someone in the world can decide to fucking ruin your day at a drop of a hat. How often do you get good news via your mobile phone? You know, realistically, by comparison.
Time my wife told me she's pregnant with kids and she never.
Yeah. You know, you just don't, it doesn't happen. More often than not, it's the fucking bank, or it's some fucking cold caller, or it's someone,
or it's more work,
who would normally. Yeah, exactly. Or someone who would normally wait until they saw you next to drop a fucking bombshell on you. You know what I mean? They'd have to wait until you got home at least. Because people still find ways to communicate bad news.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, you remember your family's dying. It's terrible, but that news would wait 4 or 5 hours. Now everything is urgent. Everything in everyone's lives is urgent, and you have to spew it onto the nearest people around you, and proximity doesn't stop you anymore. And people get wound up now when you don't answer your phone. People get murderously angry.
I remember when emails you used to be able to reply to an email within 3 days.
Yeah.
Now I've had emails off people and them text me an hour later and go, did you get my email? It's like, you emailed me.
Yeah.
Of course I got it.
I have a hierarchy that wind people up in the modern age, but it's like, if you really want me, ring me. If you don't get me, text me or WhatsApp. Past that, if you're emailing or you're leaving a voicemail, I will
voicemail
to that.
Wind me or something.
I keep meaning to go on there and say, do us a favour, don't leave a voicemail. If you want me, text me, because I do not answer it. But because I don't answer it, I don't go on it to leave the fucking answer phone message. If you've got a personalised answer phone message, then you're clearly the kind of person who needs to have voicemails left for you, I would generally suggest, unless it's as anti-voicemail as mine. But then beyond that, I'll get to it in my own due time and course, because emails, because unfortunately, because you get emails on your phone now, people think they're just as important as everything else. They're not. The emails are the thing that you should be checking a couple of times a day at best. Yeah, fuck it. But again, it all boils down.
So here's the thing.
We're never off, are we? No, we're never off.
And who cares? Right, here's the thing. Everything that we've talked about there is about immediacy and all that type of stuff, and it's seeping into your thing. This is why you need to be able to take a longer-term view of Liverpool as a football club and Liverpool as a plan in place, and why you have to, in this day and age, it's even more important now than ever before that when you give someone 5 years, you give them 5 years to do a job, because you can look at the success of different sports teams over the years, and there's a team out there in the Premier League that has kind of proved this wrong. In Chelsea, in that they've managed to consistently win trophies by changing their manager and stuff like that. That across sports doesn't work.
Yeah. Real Madrid as well, don't people? You're right. You know, it's the ultra rich that are able to get away with it.
And that's the exact reason that they're able to get away with it. You look at Manchester United and their success over the Premier League years, it was built not only on a great manager and good footballers coming through the youth team, but it was also built on the guys above being there for almost the exact same length of time. It was built on the assistant managers being very good. Every time Ferguson had a really good assistant manager, they tend to win the league. And when he never had that strong assistant manager, they never. So there's loads of reasons why Liverpool should be able to take a long-term view of things, but because there's so much news to fill, you forget about the long-term views and you forget about what you're building towards. You forget about, like, when Klopp comes in, you know, we knew that Ancelotti, we didn't know at the time, but we knew that Ancelotti said he needs a new spine. Let's not kid ourselves, Klopp knew that as well.
Yeah.
It's just how quickly you can get around to getting that new spine in, and it's how quickly everybody can pick up how you're going to do things. He's had one full season and we're 7 games into this season and I'm seeing more Klopp outs than ever before. And it just makes me realise that our fan base is fucked.
Yeah, I know. You're right, is that people don't... Seeing it from a wider perspective, and we said this, I've used this expression a few times, like, why should we have to? Well, because that's what being a football fan is, because the understanding is you're not going anywhere. And, you know, you're supposed to be... Your manager's in for the length of contract. Now, we unfortunately, because of the back of the Hicks and Gillette stuff and then the Roy Hodgson stuff, it's set precedent, and it's a very worrying precedent. And it's very hard to claw that back without just going, no, we're sticking to our guns. I don't care what people think. The problem is that imagine if Klopp had a bad season, you know, relatively speaking, and the owners stuck by them. This is the problem, is that people will go, it's weak ownership because everyone fucking hates the owners. Everyone, inverted commas. Instead of going, no, that they're taking the right standpoint, because you should give it time. What I look at it, and here's the thing, it's only a positive way of looking at things, but this is why I think you have to have a positive mentality when you follow football if you want to glean any enjoyment from it. Because I would look at it and say, it's got to be season on season, and there's no reason why, having got a good attack, Liverpool don't go up by next summer and fix the defence.
Yeah.
But we've just decided this is how Klopp has chosen to approach it. And it might have gone better. It could have, you know, again, if Van Dijk gets across the line, it's a different story, isn't it? Maybe he wanted this season to be it. But regardless, this is the path they've chosen. You've got to look at it. If we're going to treat football as a fucking spectator sport, then you don't go into a film going, after half an hour going, nah, I'm not happy how they've set these characters up. I'm not, you know, I mean, you can't. Did you can walk out of a film with a film shit.
Did I tell you the story about the girl? I might have said this on the podcast before. The girl who drove down the tunnel. Right, she was driving across to the Wirral from Liverpool down the newer tunnel.
Uh-huh.
So the Wallasey tunnel, right? And for anyone who doesn't know what the Wallasey tunnel is in Liverpool, it goes between Liverpool and the Wirral underwater, under the River Mersey. Right now, different to the Kingsway. Am I right in saying the Kingsway is the other one, and Queensway is the Wallasey tunnel?
The Birkenhead tunnel.
The Birkenhead tunnel. You got cars coming at you,
yeah,
and you're driving through. But the other tunnel is just two lanes of traffic going one way. You don't see the lanes going the other way. She was driving down this tunnel, and after about a minute or 2 minutes, she thought she'd taken the wrong turn. So what she did was she turned around in a one-way tunnel and drove back. Right, and right.
Okay.
You work with this girl, and I'll tell you the name of her after the podcast.
Okay.
That is exactly what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to do is keep your course and keep going.
Stay on target.
And that's what Liverpool have got to do now. You can't just turn around in a one-way tunnel and think, we've taken a wrong turn here, we've got to go back.
Yeah.
You've got to keep ploughing on forwards, Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, she didn't die, so maybe she's right, or maybe I'm wrong.
If she got where she was going, maybe the end's just the fact that
imagine panicking in a tunnel where there's no turnoffs and thinking you've gone the wrong way. Where did she think she was going? No.
Okay, Sam. Here's the thing.
I've just revealed the name to everyone.
Okay, cool. Here's the thing, just to go back to my movie analogy though, like, I've walked out of two films in my life.
How many were for sex?
None. They were dead, genuinely that bad, Chris.
Okay.
One was called Rancid Aluminium, which
sounds bad.
Couldn't have been titled any better. And I think I walked out of Sleepy Hollow as well. But the thing is, I wouldn't walk out, you can watch a terrible film and go, this is clearly terrible. I'm not getting this time of my life back. I'm better off just walking out and giving up my money and walking away. Like, but I always can say, you genuinely know those situations. Now, this is not me having been a film goer for 30 years. I didn't do this when I was in my 30s. I was in my either late teens or early 20s when I was doing this. So there's something that you just intrinsically knew. This is a terrible film. This is not getting better. I'm off. Now, if that film was being directed by the Coen brothers or David Fincher or, you know, Steven Spielberg, who's a more mainstream name for it, and I wasn't enjoying it in half an hour, stick with it because these are guys with directorial track records. Here's the reason why I stuck out fucking Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It was because I really liked the franchise, and George Lucas hadn't totally burned all his bridges at this point, even though realistically he had. But yeah. I stuck with that because of...
Got a bit weird at the end, though, didn't it?
It did, very, very weird. But maybe because he'd say the alien shit to the end. Spoilers, soz. Don't watch it. It's terrible. But again,
I'd have walked out of The Happening if I'd have watched it in the cinema.
But again, it's the ending, isn't it? The actual film's great. But
I didn't think so.
But I loved it. But it was
the grass.
Well, yeah, exactly. Until you realise it's the fucking trees. And then you're like, no, not for me. Yeah. Ta-da.
I deal with those films now. I just laugh at them. And me and Kat, we're normally cuddled in on the sofa or something, and we're watching a terrible film, and we just start taking the piss, and start laughing.
Yeah.
And that's how you deal with that.
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to deal with it. You're supposed to see the funny side of things. I can't do this with Liverpool. This is the thing, so I'm preaching here when I can't back it up.
Yeah.
I can't laugh at Liverpool's gaffes at the back.
Yeah.
I wish I could. Maybe I should. Maybe I should just be stood in the cop laughing my tits off.
But again, this is the thing about, like, look at Jürgen. I've mentioned this a few times, but that, like, the Dortmund, the free kick in the last minute, we had it against Leicester last week when they give away the free kick. Chamberlain gives away the free kick. And he laughs because so much of life is completely out of your control that you can choose. Here's the thing. Come back to it. The world is fucked. Let's just say it is. Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm completely wrong. But let's just say it is for the sake of argument. You can choose to get dead stressed out about it, or you can choose to fight against it actively, or you can choose to shrug and kind of laugh at the absurdity of it all. Because at the end of the day, you are quite small and quite insignificant. And unless you're going to go out there and physically do something, which comes back to, like, me, you know, some of the FSG stuff I've done of late. I've got no problem with it being a thing. If you're going to fight against it, get out there and fight against it. Do it. If you're totally believing in it, make a statement, actively do something. That's the only way you can actively get. Or, as I say, if you're not going to do about that, if you're just going to be a whiny little bitch about things, then have a little think about it, have a deep breath, and try your best to laugh it off, because it's just no way to live. And you kind of got to be, I think, to get through life. Life's a bit of a cosmic joke, isn't it?
You know what I mean? Do you think there's a badge of honour almost because you moan and you care about the club more?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think people's perception is that they've got to be seen to be moaning about stuff, because if you're not moaning about stuff, you're deluded, because you're not seeing that it's there. And I think that's the problem. Which is what we get, and the criticism that we've received from a few odd people is like, because you're not talking about it, you are either deliberately ignoring it, or you're being told to ignore it, or whatever. Whereas it might just be that I don't see it as bad as that. And again, equally, I see no positive benefit into me being on Twitter 12 hours a day spouting fucking how bad it all is, because again, all it does is make life miserable for the people who are choosing to try their best to not blindly fucking see the positives, but the people who are choosing to accentuate the positives. Because again, this is how people end up killing themselves, genuinely, to take a dark turn. That's what happens. People choose to focus on the negatives of their life far more than the potential positives. That's how people end up killing themselves. Not exclusively, of course. It's footy. At the end of the day, I know it's hard to switch off. I don't know whether it is genuinely possible to 100% switch off these days, because it permeates your every feed. And unfortunately, maybe you can switch off from it. Maybe you stop looking at Liverpool. Maybe you stop going on all these things. And then you've got these, as I love to mention, these knobheads who support other teams making radio shows and doing web posts on the World Wide Web about your manager. And people now be random outlets talking about Jürgen Klopp and talking about why things are going wrong at Liverpool. It's very hard to escape it all, but fuck me. Do something else.
Have sex.
It's pretty good. Play Liverpool Mario Kart. They're putting Wayne Rooney in Angry Birds.
No, I didn't.
It's true.
Sounds. Let them.
I'd love to play that. I'd love to smash Wayne Rooney's face up.
I don't think I've ever played Angry Birds.
You've never played Angry Birds? No. That's so good.
No, it might be. It's fine.
It's tremendous. I can't believe
it. I'll continue to just read shit. People fucking spouting shit about footy.
instead of playing Angry Birds. Honestly, playing Angry Birds is a good escape. But yeah, there you go. Not necessarily straight positive vibes that Brian might have been looking for, because I don't think it's possible. And look, again, this is the point, what it boils down to. Things aren't fine. Things are not perfect. Things are not rosy. There's definitely issues right now where Liverpool's owners are not necessarily amazing fit for the Liverpool Club. They might not even be the right fit. That's a problem. Liverpool have not bought tremendously well in the transfer window. Liverpool are not winning football matches. Liverpool are conceding stupid goals. We've got major defensive issues at that team. It's a problem. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do.
Unless you want to create a hashtag.
Yeah, exactly. Fly a plane.
Because that'll work.
Fly a plane. Well, whatever. Fucking. But the point is that, yeah, we all accept that it's not going great. But let's, why be arseholes to people? You know what I mean? Why? It just, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Let's move it on, Paul.
Someone made a great point to me when I had a go about the negativity on football Twitter, that video I did a few weeks ago on my channel, and someone said, just block people. And I was like, don't follow people. I was like, I don't follow you, and here I am with you being a knobhead in my life. I refuse to give the satisfaction of blocking people. Refuse to give them that satisfaction, because it's a badge of honour and people can fuck up. Now, I've muted a fair amount of people, but equally, why should we give up, Chris? Why should we give up on
people?
Keep
fighting the good fight.
Well, exactly. If we do, because honestly, again, in a very high brow for this podcast point of view, if we all give up on trying to turn people from the dark side, what are you going to have? What's going to be left? It's nothing but dark side. You know what I mean? Luke Skywalker could have decided, fuck it, I'm going to sit on my moisture farm.
So are you trying to bring balance to the force? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm just trying to fight the good fight, Chris, as you said. I just, you know, no, because that goes wrong, bringing balance to the force, you know, very much so. But, you know, maybe I will.
Looking forward to Star Wars in December.
Very much looking forward to Star Wars.
Can't wait for that.
Is it going to be dark?
Looking forward to Liverpool getting back on the footy field and scoring goals and not conceding. Yeah. That'll happen at some point, Paul.
I'm looking forward to a Red Men TV exclusive coming up later this week that we will be drip-feeding information on.
Oh, I cannot wait for this one.
A world exclusive interview on the horizon. Cannot wait. Should be very, very good. Very, very exciting.
Access. Just
access,
innit? That's what people shout at you when you're when they think you're a knobhead and you don't say things about FSG. Access.
Yeah. It's genuinely not.
The community project from last week.
Oh my God, for those of you know, we put some pictures out. We played Pro Evo against Flano and Genie Wijnaldum. It was good, and those videos will be out soon, very soon, hopefully. But Someone took that picture, took all the ads that I had in the original tweet from it, and said, "You said you don't get club access." Like, it genuinely, we got asked to be there for a start because we're mates with Konami and Pro Evo and the people who promote that, of course, which we do because we play the game. But also, we've got this community project which helps local kids, helps the local neighbours. It's a tournament.
16 local kids got to play Pro Evo in a tournament in the new Liverpool club shop at Anfield for eight local schools.
To play Liverpool players
against Wijnaldum and Flanagan after the tournament.
They said, would you mind covering it? And you can have a few minutes with the players at the end. And we're like, yeah, great, that's absolutely fine. We'd love to. And yeah, it's like club access with the players. Oh my god. Why? It makes you think. Why do you bother?
We're not bad, Paul. Supporting bad, fucking local beds, community local projects.
Stuff. And look, you know, fucking hell. We're not like this free socialist platform. Like, you know what I mean? Fucking hell. Business is business in things. But Jesus Christ, like people who accuse people of having an agenda. Or have an agenda themselves. And people who call you a liar, I've found genuinely as a rule of thumb in life, people who think people are liars themselves.
Do people have an agenda? Like, do you think they write it down?
Yeah,
like, because I've got an agenda, but it's all like, you know, a meeting at this time, and we're filming at this time, we're doing this. You've got an agenda? Yes, I have. Do you want to see it? I'm having a meeting at 2:00. Here's our agenda. We're going to discuss Liverpool players as Mario Kart characters.
Poor girl's name's just been revealed. Sorry, Steph. yeah, no, it's one of them, isn't it? It's the great John Stewart thing where he went on Fox, didn't he? And he said there's no such thing as a left wing agenda. It's just how you feel about things. People from the right wing feel that it is because they've got one themselves, so they presume that the opposition must feel and think the exact same way. But this is what we do in life. In the absence of genuine facts, we put ourselves into those gaps, and so we fill up that with how we would be. And if you're very much of a certain set of opinions, you presume other people are either exactly like you or exactly opposite you. Whereas there's a very good chance that they might just be middle of the road. Hashtag FSG mayor. Which is what it is. Which is what genuinely people think about the owners. There's no such thing as FSG. I'm dead sorry. Even if there is a hashtag. There probably is a hashtag, Chris, because people like to wind people up. I would, you know, and you would. You would put, I think it's an ironic hashtag, I would guess. I can only guess. So we've got loads of questions. I put my phone away for some reason because I kept buzzing on the table. That's why.
You can mute it, you know.
I could do. Thanks. Is that a feature, is it?
Yeah.
Really?
It's a feature. You should use it.
Nah. So, yeah, we got...
You just want to get some use out of that coat pocket.
Coat pocket?
Was it in your coat pocket?
No. Why would you put your phone in your coat pocket?
Why would you wear a coat indoors in a podcast?
Because you've worn the same t-shirts as me, you bellend. So let's get to some of your Facebook questions then. We've had a few more coming out.
And I think
this.
I wore my t-shirt before you, in fairness. You've worn the same t-shirt as me. What time were you up and dressed?
Was it in your wardrobe?
Yeah.
And mine was out on the side from last night.
You wore that last night?
No,
and
I put it out on the side last night to wear this morning.
But you didn't wear it before me.
No, but I had it prepared first.
No, mine was in my wardrobe in day order, so I put them in three days ago.
Shut up. Alexa Vujic says, one concert you would go to, past, present, or any other artist?
One concert? Beatles.
any particular concerts? Just the...
Oh, right, one particular concert back in the USSR.
Okay, cool. Okay, that's good. I think it's the Shea Stadium. I'd like to go to, even though apparently it was the worst Beatles gig ever because people were screaming that much, no one could hear them play. But just to say you were there, it's Nebworth for me.
Nebworth, Kat was there. You know?
I know, really upset me. Oasis at Nebworth would be absolutely be.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Let's see, we've got. Here we go. Mike Clark, to fill the random question quota, what would be on a hamburger called the Stevie G?
Wow. Okay.
Is it as simple as everything?
No, because he never had everything.
What didn't he have?
Great hair.
So he's not on like a brioche bun, he's on just a plain...
He's definitely on a brioche bun. No, you've got to start with a brioche, but I'd like it to be a sesame seeded brioche.
But isn't that the equivalent of the good hair on a burger?
If you think sesame seeds look good.
Well, it's on the top of you. Yeah, it does, but looks...
I don't know, I like the glaze look of a brioche is a little bit nicer to me, but I like the taste of the sesame seeds. Anyway, we'll start it with a brioche bun. Toasted on one side. I'm very particular about my burger buns. Okay. I think a lot of people decide to toast it and they just toast it, and that's wrong. Cut in half and toast the inside, because what happens is when you toast something or when you grill something, when you cook the outside of something, it means that the sauce finds it more difficult to get in and permeate the bun, Paul. Okay. Permeation is a problem in burgers. So what you do is you toast the inside and then you can put your burger on there. And I'd start probably with a layer of cheese.
So if you've toasted the inside, how makes it less permeable?
Exactly. You don't want your tomato running into the bun itself.
Ah. Okay.
You know what I mean? You know the way when you have like a bacon butty with tomato,
yeah,
chopped tomatoes on bread, and it soaks the bread. Well, this I'm trying to prove a point. It soaks the bread and it ends up sticking to the roof of your mouth and all that. So you don't want that. So you want an inside toasted brioche bun, okay. And then I'd probably start with some kind of. He was spicy in the tackle, wasn't he?
Sure. You know,
so I'd probably go with some kind of Mexicana cheese just to, you know, really pack the punch like Stevie used to in his tackles.
Okay.
And then I personally prefer two thin patties rather than one fat burger.
Okay.
And I still like the mid-rare, don't get me wrong. I know it's not good for you because it's mince and the germs and all that type of stuff. I just prefer the taste of that, okay? So I'm going...
No, I'm fine. I'm
going one burger and then I'm going to throw a cheese slice in there for fun. And then I'm going to go... And then I'm going to go my second burger. And then quite simply for me on a Gerard, it's classic, it's brilliant, it's everything that it should be. It's just going to be bacon, lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, ketchup and... squirty American mustard, because I love that on a burger, and then the rest of the bun.
Is LA the influence?
Yeah,
going
of course.
Like,
yeah. I think so.
That's how. Everything apart from mushrooms and probably just some sort of slightly deficient top to it to signify the hair thing. I do really nicely. So we've got a couple of just Liverpool related stuff. Owen Reed on Twitter says it was Weenle 22. Cavani thoughts.
Good player.
He's a very good player. Red Till You're Dead followed up with it saying, definitely the clinical finisher, criminal the amount of chances created to conversions. I very briefly mentioned this in the office, that this season has a little bit of like a 12-13 thing at the moment, that we brought Daniel Sturridge in like right at the start of the January transfer window and he hit the ground running, and we're just a much more dynamic free scoring team as a result of it, and I still don't know who that would be, and I can't see it being Edinson Cavani, but that feels like the obvious answer right now is to go and find someone who's boss at scoring goals.
Yeah.
And just buy.
I mean, I called it in the summer, didn't I? And you
don't
didn't
do
didn't
this
like
again.
It.
Fucking hell, we Benzema can't go a good every player, show. Would you bring it up? This I said it in the summer. Why would they sell Benzema?
It's irrelevant. That's the type of player that we need. Yeah. That's the type of player who can bring others in and score goals at the same time. Like.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Absolutely. But yeah, I agree on that. Cavani, because I think he's the remaining name that gets linked. Well, him and Benzema get linked away every single summer. And even though Cavani's moved a fair bit, hasn't he? They don't move as freely as the newspapers would have you, as the Metro would have you want to believe every single transfer window. But Cavani would be great for me. And because I think he's probably at that stage of his career now, age-wise, where I'm not sure he'd come in and be the answer, as in, like, he feels to me, and maybe I'd be dead wrong, and I am often wrong on these things, of course, you know, a Chelsea buyer, guy who's just right at the peak of his age, and he's fine, but he inevitably, they have a couple of these guys for the season or two, and then they go and buy someone amazing the next
Shevchenko
season, they win the league.
Shevchenko,
they had the guy whose name is Hernan Crespo.
Yeah.
You know, they've done a few
Torres
being, he was meant to be the kick-on guy, but he never ended up being. 13, 14, they had like Torres, Eto, and Demba Ba, and none of them was 30 goal a season. Yeah. You know, it was Costa they needed the next season. It was the finishing thing. I think Cavani would be an amazing addition to our team, and I think Benzema would too. I just fear that they would also be the kind of guys who we would get them in, and they wouldn't quite be what we're looking for. I would still rather us go out and buy. It's like Timo Werner, isn't it? You just go and get someone who's ripe to make that.
Yeah,
that breakout, Alan Suarez,
and then here's where it comes back to, isn't it? Because listen, there's loads of football fans around the world who know about Timo Werner, who think he's a great player and stuff. But you bring him in and you are developing somebody in that. And yeah, you know, for me, I think that's the right call. I think you've got to be able to, because I just don't think financially yet it's gutting and it hurts me and it pains me all the time. We still can't compete. You know what I mean? Klopp spent 30 million net since he's come into this club in 2.5 years. You know, he decided not to use one of the transfer windows in the January. Was it last year he decided not to use it both Januaries?
Apart from, well, technically Stephen Colker, but before we get to it.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, so I need to add him to that graphic, actually. Remind me, Colker graphic. And that's the thing. Over the last 2 years, 30 million has been spent, and it's not good enough, and it's not enough. But it's also not the be-all and end-all of the subject, because there's grey areas like the Keita stuff, like the Van Dijk stuff, where there's potentially another 140 million that got spent there.
It's interesting, because at Vintage Salah on Twitter said, should we go all out for Van Dijk in January? Now, me and Steve are going to be doing this on the Red News Roundup podcast and video show this week, so if you want to watch that, go to theredmentv.com, highly recommended. But just briefly on that, and again, this is me making another one of those it's going to be all right arguments. I don't know that it's going to be all right, but I can see a situation where, because Van Dijk's come out and talked about maybe looking for a move in January, that if we were able to, if the bridges have been repaired, if enough water's passed under the bridge between Liverpool and Southampton for this to be a thing, and Liverpool pick him up in January, that would be massive. And that would also, as long as Liverpool aren't dead and buried in the league, in the Champions League by that point, would justify the way that the window panned out by not going to get an alternative, effectively.
Yeah, you're right.
Brilliant. There was one question that you wanted to ask that we talked about briefly in the office, but to wrap up.
Who's the biggest paedophile you know?
I'm looking at him, baby. it was chocolate related.
Of course it was chocolate related. I want to know why, if so many people like the Kit Kat, why not everybody buys the Kit Kat?
Yeah, people don't seem to outright. Maybe it's a very James Milner chocolate bar, isn't it?
It's a biscuit.
It's a biscuit, is it?
I think so.
Okay,
it's a finger. Chocolate biscuit.
It's a chocolate finger.
I've got chocolate fingers for you right now, buddy.
And you asked when was the last time you had one. I did say like yesterday, although it was I think it was an Aldi equivalent.
Oh, right, okay. They're still good.
Effectively the same thing. It tastes absolutely fine to me. But yeah, there you go.
See, I always go for, in the Aldi, it's the fake Mars bar.
Wasn't my choice.
Titan.
Yeah, sure.
I always want to get a Jive.
All of the Jive equivalents.
I want to get a Jive. Jives are the Twixes.
Okay.
But I never buy them, but I love a Twix.
We only get them on Halloween when you get the big mixed multi-pack, you know, like the fun-size ones, where you get the lot, and they're all fine. They're all absolutely fine.
Do you know what?
And when Ped goes to the Aldi and leaves a load in the office.
Yeah. Why did he put the bounties in this? Is it the celebrations that the bounties are in?
Yeah.
Do people eat them?
Yeah.
Who?
Barry from Toffee TV. We had this conversation, and I think it's because he's been our dad for longer than us.
So he
effectively
has to just
dads
eat the shit.
Get used to having all of the shit chocolates at the bottom of
Do you know what I saw in B&M Bargains in Belvale at the weekend?
I could start the listings,
so there's one thing,
while.
The one thing that I took note of.
Okay.
You know, I like Nutella. I think every man likes a chocolate hazelnut spread, give
sure.
or take. Like.
Go ahead.
Wow, that sounded dirty when I said that out loud.
Yeah, really. It sounded like pure filth. Okay, so what are you going to rip it? No, it's fine.
There's a bounty spread for your toast
Nah.
No, you're all right.
Not for me, thanks.
Is it basically people aren't buying bounties? People aren't buying bounties. We've got all this coconut to use. We'll make a bounty spread. That's what will really turn the corner for us as a company.
I would rather spread bounty the paper towel on toast. Than a bounty spread, no.
Bounty
not for
spread.
Me. Not for
go
me.
Figure.
If it is for you, let us know by tweeting in. If you've got any thoughts or any questions, again, at the Redmen TV, get involved. We've got loads more podcasts coming up for you. There's a couple of free ones. Obviously, the preview show won't be around, but the preview show, which is the Uncensored Match Builder show. The review show now, which goes out after the match, which is taking a lot of your comments.
Quite a while after the match.
Yeah, and if you need loads more podcast stuff, you bang into Liverpool Podcast, we do loads and loads of that stuff on the redmentv.com. Excellent. Again, Reds News Roundup coming up. We normally do Final Word Show, which is 60 minutes looking at every single Liverpool game in depth and detail, which you think would be a nightmare, but it's not. It's lovely and therapeutic. And Chris has got a stat show. We also do more of your comments. There's loads of amazing stuff and exclusive interviews. There's an interview with Steve and Gerrard up there. There's going to be an extended video of us playing against Flanagan and Wijnaldum on Pro Evo, which is excellent. And the world exclusive interview that's going to be coming up later this week will be on there in its full length entirety. So perfect time to get onto the redmentv.com. Free month, try it out, see how you feel, and let us know. 5-star reviews on iTunes, etc., always appreciated. And as is some blue sky thinking periodically.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Keep your heads, Reds, and walk on.